You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And tonight I'm speaking to David Shapiro from Sasfin Securities, sometimes in Johannesburg, but more frequently these days in far-flung territories. For example, at the moment, are you in Boston or New York, David?
New York. Yeah.
Okay, good. This, just before we get to the JSE, which was doing quite nicely, but then didn't fall on its head, but came down with the S&P, which we'll come to later as well. But I'm just looking at the world, David, and I think to myself, okay, we've got the Fed. When is the Fed, tonight or tomorrow, their decision?
Tomorrow
Wednesday,
night. Yeah.
Yeah, okay, so around about 8:30, whatever time it is, in South Africa. They're going to raise rates by 75 basis points. That's almost a certainty. So you've got that. But then I look at the political situation worldwide, and I look at Sweden. Sweden has gone to the far right. Italy has gone to the far right. I mean, there's going to be the first female prime minister in Italian history, but it's not the fact that she's a woman. It's the fact that she's far right. And she says, I'm not a racist, I'm not this and that. But on the other hand, she's going to limit immigration, and she is also anti-LGBT.
That's so important.
Politically,
it's touching on very important issues.
I think it's all to do with the economic situation of the household. People are up in arms in Britain about the rising prices across the board, mainly energy prices, but the same obviously happening in Sweden and in Italy and maybe even France. Maybe there'll be a resurgence of the right wing with Marine Le Pen in the future as well. So there's some very, very interesting and quite disturbing things happening, and that's the big picture, and it's not good for markets.
No. I thought about that because, in fact, the first thing I did when I arrived here last week, I came here Thursday morning, is, I tweeted something about what was happening. And the reason is that I suddenly realized how poor I am as a South African in America. Okay, I'm exaggerating. I'm being a bit liberal. But with the rand at 17.80, a loaf of bread can cost you 100 rand or something like that. And
in New York,
or they're in New York and thereabouts. I'm sure that you can find a cheaper loaf somewhere else, but this is just walking into a bakery and ordering one of those round loaves or something like that. And in fact, in many cases, we always say our kiddish on what you call challah, which is a kitka in South Africa. You have that knotted bread,
yes,
and this can cost $12. Now, $12, you work that out, what, because it's almost 200 rand for a kitka. And where in South Africa, it's 20 rand, maybe 25 rand maximum. And when I looked at it, it's not America, it's me. We're suffering as a result of the depreciation of the rand. Now, you'll hear where I'm getting to. And I suddenly thought, hold on a sec, this is dollar strength. America is very inwardly focused. It's focused on its own issues. We're going to get control over inflation here. But the unintended consequences of what Powell is doing, all of which I think is now reflecting to a large extent on those issues that you brought up. Yes, gas is priced in dollars. So everything is priced in dollars. And I think it's beginning to hurt people, and particularly in the emerging world. I think the unintended consequences of a very aggressive Fed trying to get on top of, trying to get on top of inflation, I think is going to, what I worry about is just weaken the world that you're going to get what you're talking about now. I wish I was more articulate, and I could clarify.
No, you're
my
being
thoughts.
Very articulate. Carry on. Keep
going.
These
are wild thoughts. I walked through America, and I'm in New York at the moment.
Yeah.
Now, this is a city when I was here a year ago. I have had short trips there, February and that. I could see the consequences of COVID. 2 years of COVID just ripped the city inside out. People left to go elsewhere. Rents are coming down. Shops are closing. And there's still many, many stores that are still closed. And now on top of that, you're now getting a recession trying to be forced on this economy by the Fed, you know, by their very aggressive policy. And I don't want to get into monetary discussions because I'm going to lose that battle. But when you look at it, you say, hold on, is this what you want? Do you want to suck the oxygen out of this economy, you know, of people who've just gone through 2 years of absolute hell fighting COVID, and now this is going to be imposed upon them, all in the name of bringing down inflation? You know, in other words, the worry is that the actual solution is worse than the disease. You know, and I'm quoting from something I read actually in Bloomberg's, you know, you can go that far where your actual, the medicine that you're taking is actually worse than the disease. And I'm concerned about it here. I just, you know, when I walk around here, the city's still very strong. A lot of things are happening and it's still active and, you know, it's New York.
Yeah.
But when I go to walk down and I say, oh, I'm going to go to Gap or something like this and say, oh, well, or Banana Republic, the store's not there. Or let's go to L'Occitane, the store's not there. If you go into Columbus Circle where I am, the number of stores that are closed and being replaced is quite phenomenal. Restaurants that are closed. So, Lindsay, where I'm heading is that I think what comes out of this, not only a COVID, what comes out of the application of very, very high interest rates and this desire to get on top of inflation, I think can be quite far-reaching. And it's going to manifest itself politically. You know, in
already
exactly
is,
what
David.
You're saying.
And people are fed up.
Yeah.
I saw interviews with people in Italy, in Sicily, actually, specifically, and they said, I've never voted. Some people said they've never voted before, but they said, now I have to vote, and I'm voting for these people. Mm. I'm voting for these people because they appeal to me, because they say they're going to bring prices down. They say they're going to stop boats coming to Sicily and to the mainland, etc. I mean, really appealing not to the lowest of the low, because that's disrespectful. They're not the lowest of the low. They're people that are working in restaurants and working on market stalls and things like that. But these are people whose lives are being impacted by rising prices and this migration, which is going to get worse and worse throughout the years. But, I mean, never mind political... what am I talking about? Political oppression, which is the case in many African countries and why they come to Europe, but also because of climate change. There are certain parts of the world, but they will never be inhabitable again because the temperatures are going up too much. I can't see an end of it at the moment. Am I being too dramatic?
No. I you know, maybe we are at the bottom. You know, this could be
bottom
the way
of what?
That we're talking now. I'm talking about in markets, and it will start fixing itself. But what I found fascinating as well is the political discussions here and just what's disturbing people. And, you know, you're going into midterm elections now. Yes, of course, the economy is at the forefront of their concerns. Housing prices coming down. There's a lot of turmoil. You're not going to shops. They're still busy. You go, you know, Saturday morning in New York City or Sunday, people are out in the parks. You wouldn't know that anything's wrong. But when you sit down with someone and start talking on that, you know, you can pick up issues. I think the big issues here are you know, still concerns around the election, still concerns about the Republicans and this denying the you know, denying the election, which has become a big thing. And it's still influencing a lot of candidates, not necessarily in New York and not necessarily in the blue states, but certainly in the red states. It's a big issue and people get pumped up around it. The other big story is the Supreme Court. How it doesn't reflect the will of the people or the mass of people.
Well, no, because it's appointed by Trump. But also, the thing about the Supreme Court is it's not democratic. These people have got these jobs for life, haven't they? Is that my correct understanding?
So you have to go back 250 years to the Constitution and try and understand, listen, how did we get here? You know, why are we here? And a lot of it is part of the Constitution. You know, there are 100 senators. Delaware, which is a state from which Mr. Biden comes, has two senators, which is the same as New York, you know, which is or California. You know, that was in order to avoid dominance by any one big state. That's still relevant. So you get all these nuances in the Constitution, which are being played out, you know, the gerrymandering, the deciding on cities, you know, where maybe in this area there's a massive vote for Democrats, but a smaller state where there's a less of a majority still has the same show. You know, it's in other words, it's not really American politics are not really reflective of the will of the people or the vote of the people. So there are a lot of discussions around this. And people get infuriated. Trump is still, I mean, when you bring up his name in conversation, you better put on a helmet, one of these army helmets, army gear or something like that.
I was thinking about him yesterday, actually, and I thought he's watching 500 dignitaries and world leaders going to London to pay their respects to the Queen on the occasion of her funeral. He must be sitting there seething that he's not there. He loves that sort of occasion. And he must be. And he, I get 12 emails a day from the Trump Organization saying, this is your last chance ascend $10 and become a member of this and that, etc. And then the next day, we're giving you one more chance. And it goes on like that. He's a desperate, desperate man. So people in New York don't like Trump.
Well, Well, his ego's there. You know, his ego will not let him step down or recognize this. You know, he will go to all lengths to prove it and makes him very dangerous man. But you brought up the LGBT, whatever it is, Q, X, Y, Z. But that's a
gay
big
people,
issue here
in
as
other
well.
Words. Yeah, I mean,
very big issue here in the sense that it is keeping people, you know, those who are center, it is pushing them right, as you're seeing in Italy now. You know, it's taken to ridiculous sense where they will not even enter into, this is the way we think, this is the left, you know, the liberal leaning left, this is the way we think, if you don't like it, you know, we're going to cancel it. So there's no discussion around these things, and sometimes it's to a point, you know, I was always thinking, and I've been in the Air Force, I've been on the floor of the Joburg Stock Exchange and that. We always, and I mean, even in the Air Force, I mean, people would acknowledge you. You know, if you were different, they would acknowledge you.
But so there was no anti-Semitism in the Stock Exchange or in the Air Force, no?
We never, you know what they used to call me, and no offense to anybody by saying this, you know, the sergeants would call you Akkerkop. Now, that's acorn head because I was circumcised. Now, you know, but the sergeant never did it. You know, he knew I was Jewish, you know, and he would say it in a nice way, you know, hey, Akkerkop, you know, come here. In other words,
Akkerkop.
if I wanted to be offended by it, I could be, you know, but he didn't do it. All he was recognizing that, yes, you know, you're a little Jewish boy amongst all these Afrikaners and Nederlanderich, Vormeerder, et cetera. But I never found any kind of, I wasn't singled out, you know, we didn't have to do more press-ups than anybody else.
So you weren't persecuted. You were teased, but not persecuted. That's what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying. From my point of view, all he was doing was acknowledging, okay, you know, it was done in fun. Now you can take it, you know, you can take it offensively and call him with this and create problems. But I don't think so. You know, even on the stock exchange, I'll never forget one of the first Indian chaps who came, you know, they accepted him. Mm. I mean, he was part of the crowd, but they called him Chili Pip. Why? Because his diet was different, you know, and but he accepted it, but nobody took offense, you know, to anything like that. It was never done in an offensive way.
Mm.
And I might be going down the wrong path now.
I don't think you are.
And I hope I'm not. But what I'm trying to say is that we accepted it. You know, if a chap was gay, they might call him a fagala, which was a lovely Yiddish word. But, okay, that's who you are. You know, that's who you are. We're not going to interfere in your life. You know what I mean? We're going to treat you as a normal person. And this is long before it became an issue.
Yeah, and I think the problem with the LGBTQ community, and I'm going to get into trouble for this, is that they take it far too seriously.
Yes.
And just get on with it. And stop
That's exactly
making...
the point I'm making.
Yeah.
That's the exact point I'm trying to make. Get on with it. You know, at school, when we had, we always recognized there were different people. Chaps who didn't want to play soccer on the front lawn. They wanted to pick flowers and said, okay, you know, I'm not, that's fine. It's fine with me. You know what I mean? It's fine. I didn't get offended by it. We never excluded them in school, never picked on them in any kind of way. And I'm saying that's to an extent, you know, when you start to push it.
Yeah.
And you start putting tampons in. If you put a tampon in the boys' toilet at school, of course there's going to be issues. Because some female who might identify as a man goes into the boys' toilet. You know, to push it to that kind of extent, I don't know. I don't know. That I'm finding is pushing people much more. That's why they're pushing them to the right and saying, hold on, you know, you're taking this far too seriously, God. You know, if a person wants to do that, fine. I'm okay with it.
I think there's only a very small percentage of the population that is offended by gay people or transgender people. Personally, I don't really give a shit, David, quite honestly.
I will get
on with it.
Exactly.
I mean, lovely, lovely people. So what? Whatever they want to do behind closed doors, or if they want to hold hands or kiss in a bar, absolutely fantastic. But don't go on about it all the time, for goodness sake. Anyway, the point is that we've gone off a bit of a tangent, but politically, in certain countries that are under the cosh at the moment economically, they focus on these things and say, right, I'm going to vote for a party that doesn't like these people. I'm going to focus on a party that doesn't want more black people coming from Africa and coming on our shores. Meanwhile, these people are opening shops and opening restaurants and doing a fantastic job that maybe your population wouldn't do.
Exactly. I that's why I brought it up. I'm saying it is becoming a point. You know, you say we're going off at a tangent. We're not. It's the pushing of it that is causing people to move towards the right. Those people who would have been center, maybe even center left, are now becoming offended by it and saying, hold on a sec. And that's why, as hard as people are on the right, you're getting the same kind of hardness on the extreme left.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The same stubbornness in that. You pass them all the time in New York, I think in any country in that. But if you walk through New York City, you've got some of the strangest people that walk past you. You don't even stop and start pointing taking photos. Yeah, but that's it. Of course. No one cares.
No.
You know, if you want to, if I wanted to run around New York City in pink panties, no one's going to care. You know?
Well, I'd care if I saw you, but anyway, quite honestly, if I saw you, if I saw a cop in pink panties, I would get to, I would be very offended.
That's why I'm worried when we, you know, as much as we talk about the far right and the dominance of those, I think there is an element on the extreme left that is also beginning to offend people and push them out of their, you know, their comfort zone or where they want to be and pushing them into the other parties.
Gosh, we could go on with this conversation for a long time, but I'm not going to. I just want to know the name of the bread, the braided bread. Is it challah, shallah? How do you call it? The Jewish bread that you were talking about.
Kitka. We call it kitka in South Africa, but they call it challah.
Challah. It says here it's a special bread of Ashkenazi Jewish origin, usually braided and typically eaten on ceremonial occasions such as Shabbat or major Jewish holidays, other, of course, than Passover. Now, but these are available in Jewish delicatessens every day, so they're normally eaten. And you're saying they're about $12 each, right?
Well, yeah, I think you can get them at about $12, yeah.
And what about the rest
of
the... Yeah, Joburg, 20-25 Rand. Well, that's an extraordinary difference for various reasons which we need not go into. But, David, what about the rest of the pricing? And you go around, you maybe have a beer here and you have a steak there or something when you're out with your wife and your family, etc. What have you seen since the last time you were there?
I haven't noticed a huge difference. The one thing that is exceptionally cheap here are manufactured goods.
Mm.
So your clothing is very, very cheap. And that constantly having sales and that. So, I mean, that's one area where
For example, give me an example, because I know you always buy your shoes there. You'll go to...
My Cole Haan is there.
Your Cole Haan, yeah,
it's now
exactly.
been replaced by Wilson, yeah.
Right.
So I don't know. I haven't... Wilson, the tennis racket people or the tennis, you know, they mainly sponsor tennis. So they're in Columbus Circle. So I haven't been to Cole Haan. But, I mean, if you go to Gap...
Right.
You can't. You could come out spending $100, but you can buy probably a pair of jeans at Gap would maybe cost you $25, $30, $40.
That's nothing.
Know, which is nothing. And you get discounts on top of all of those things. If you go to mainly H&M here, or you go to you know those kind of stores without going to the really big labels, I think. I went to Uniqlo. Lindsay, the one thing.
That Japanese shop is, where there was, you'll be fine in Uniqlo because you're thinner and you're slightly shorter than I am. Mm. I went to Uniqlo in Oxford Street in London a couple of years ago. Mm. I mean, they have small, medium and large. And I said, large is for a medium person in the Netherlands.
Yeah.
It's a lovely shop, but I mean, unfortunately, not for me.
But very high quality clothing at very affordable prices.
Yeah.
And while they are fashionable, you know, and I'll put that in inverted commas, they're not high fashion.
No.
So it's very wearable, street wearable stuff, lounging around your home and so on. So there it's
not what Marks and Spencer's used to
and
be.
And what happened there? You know, the one thing that's changed, I mean, that is all over, self-checkout. Wherever you go, self-checkout, you check yourself out. And it's very user-friendly. Now, what Uniqlo is that if you go to the self-checkout, they've got it's almost like a bucket next to you. You know,
yes.
It's built in. You drop everything in and you don't have to scan it. You just drop it into the bucket. It picks up that, gives you your price. 2 seconds, you're out.
I did that. I bought a jumper there for a friend, and I didn't really understand, but I thought I'd give it a go. But that's it. And then it was paid for. I thought, what's next? Who do I see? But no, it was all done. It's amazing.
That's exactly. And the same thing if you go to any supermarket now, large supermarket, if you go to Whole Foods or wherever, Target, wherever you go, it's all self-checkout. You know, the only thing is like at Uniqlo, if you've got those the tags, you know, someone has to come and take those tags off for you. But I mean, over and above that, it's a very simple, easy process.
Just tell me something now, because I'll get into trouble. Is it? Do you think that self-checkout will ever take on in South Africa? I don't think so.
Not a chance.
No.
Not a chance. No, they'll just they'll find a way around it and just rip the guts out of it, you know. And half the store will vanish. You know, they could never do it. And here you put your card in and that, and it's very easy to get out. I'm sure there might be detectors, you know, security detectors at the exit and that. But I mean, the one thing that our robbers are, they're expert at anything. You know, they'll get around anything.
Yeah, they're very adaptable, I must say. David, let's talk about
it's. Mm-hmm.
I want to talk about inflation now, because I'm a frustrated retail analyst here, but inflation in the United States and the strength of the US dollar, the dollar is so strong, which in the long term means that the dollar has buying power. Now, that's what it is. Yeah. I mean, the fact is it can buy stuff. So they're importing deflation. You say manufactured goods are really, really cheap. Maybe it's because of the strength of the US dollar. The dollar goes a long way, whereas in South Africa, is importing inflation. America is importing deflation, and therefore inflation will come down, and the cycle continues.
Yeah, I'm not stressed about what's happening in America. I just think that this is going to blow out. Because I think a lot of the supply, again, I come back. We've gone through 3 years of turmoil, you know, 2 years under COVID and 1 year with the war in Ukraine. And it's going to take a long time to reestablish the supply chains and to get everything balanced. But that will start to come down. The other side, of course, is the demand, in a demand push inflation that we have here. And I think that is also starting to slow down as people get less money. And, you know, you're starting to see it in housing already. You know, the numbers are coming down. It'll take time to play through, with the housing market under considerable pressure. But I think that maybe a year from now, things will be a lot better than they are at the moment. In fact, probably considerably better. And that's, to an extent, I think being reflected in the long-term rates in the U.S.
Have you seen the long-term rates, by the way, since we started talking?
I saw them.
358 and a half now for the U.S. 10-year. Yeah, it started spiking around about 20 minutes, half an hour ago. Yeah. It's just gone through the roof.
Well, this is madness. There's a lot of speculation around that. You know, you can see ahead of the Fed. I don't know what they expect. I can't. What I come back to, Lindsay, is my fear is that if the Fed pushes this, they might get what they want. And getting what they want is a U.S. or a global economy in recession. And when you go into recession and when you start into that downward spiral, it's very difficult to turn it around. When confidence goes, you don't just – you know, you don't just switch off the engine and then kind of refill the car and, you know, everything's fine. It doesn't work that way. It's very, very difficult. There's a very delicate balance of pushing it over the edge. And I'm just scared that the Fed, with their fiery talk now, just might do that. You know, I don't think that's what I'm worried about. I don't think this country, having gone through what it is, and this is a strong economy, I'm more worried about Europe. And you're, you know, more worried about outside of America, what the consequences are going to be of much, much higher prices. And I've got a particular reference to South Africa, which I just gives me great, great concern. You know, and with the rand where it is, you know, I think about people back home. I think about myself, what I now have to earn to go on a trip. Do you know what I mean? For me to undertake a trip like this, I need to earn double what I was earning a few years ago, or kind of put aside a lot more than I would have in the past.
It's a very sobering sobering last minute that we've just had. But let's have a look at these prices now to put this into context, because the dollar rand, 1771, British pound against the rand, 2020. The euro rand is 1769. The euro dollar is 99.88. In other words, it's just below parity. British pound, 114.05. That's a new 37-year low for the pound against the rampant US dollar. Gold price, oh, goodness me. I remember speaking to Sculpt Low maybe 9 months ago. No, nine months ago. It was 2000 and something. Now it's $1,665 an ounce, which is down $7 on the day. The platinum price is up 25, perversely, up to 926, but palladium is down 55, or 2.5%, to 2,148. Okay, now we go to crude oil. Crude 1.7% weaker for the Brent variety, $90.42, and the West Texas brand is $84.16 per barrel. Other commodities: wheat is suddenly up 5%. Iron ore down 2.3%, but anyway, it's the wheat price that has really caught my eye today. As I said, nearly 5% higher today. This is the one, again, that interests me strangely, because someone's doing something here. There's no way that ahead of the Fed that someone's not getting squeezed out, because this is the U.S. U.S. 10-year Treasury bond yield is currently, as I refresh my screen, 3.585%, which is a multi-year high on this instrument, which is so terribly, terribly important. The South African 10-year bond yield, 10.535%, which is nearly 10 basis points higher for that. It's still way off its highs, which was 11.12, 11.12 or something a while ago. So it's not doing as badly as the US 10-year. But, David, this US 10-year is telling you something, isn't it? And telling you something very meaningful. Either there's a fund or someone getting squeezed out, as I said, or they know something about tomorrow night.
I don't think they do. That's what I'm saying. I don't think there's anything, but I think you're right. I think there is some kind of a squeeze, you know, almost like a bear squeeze, and that a lot of people, there's been nowhere to hide. The only way you, the only place to hide has been in the short end of the market, literally in cash. What I think is a lot of people might have gone long the dollar, long interest rates, believing that we were peaking and that we were coming to the end, which were caught out, what's it, a week ago or just nearly 2 weeks ago. So I wouldn't be surprised. It's just acting that way. Strange enough, the stock market is down, but it's not beaten.
No.
You know, it's, you know what I mean? It's not capitulating. We're not finding, you know, massive selling and so on. It's still, the S&P is still 3858 or 3859. It's not testing those lows that we saw in June, and it doesn't look like it's going to test them. Those unless something happened tomorrow, you know, unless the Fed says something dramatic. And I'm worried about that. If they do say something, oi, I don't know where it goes and how we will ever reverse that, you know, how we will, you know, how we will get back on track. Because people want confidence, you know, economies drive on confidence. It's the last thing you want to take out. And you know, Lindsay, I say that. I say my big concern. I'm still South African. You know, I'm not, I only come here for a few weeks in the year. But I'm saying when I see what's happening there now with stage five, stage six, the people's mindset is completely destroyed. You know, they have been whacked. They really.
I won't mention individuals, but there. No, no. Before, let me say this: South Africans have been numbed into submission. They have been numbed. They get used to it. Someone, they get a message on their mobile phone or whatever notification they get, and there's going to be stage this, stage that. Your electricity is going to be out for 2 years, and the people that have two hours. Excuse me. But people that have the means get solar and other energy sources. But the ordinary man and woman in the street can't do that. But they just say, ah, well, we're used to that. And that, to me, is more disturbing than the actual event itself, because there's no one rising up and marching down the street and banging on the door of Mr. Ramaphosa, who was in London yesterday. They're not banging on the door.
Exactly. I've been saying this for decades. I've said that we're far too complacent, and I've been, you know, very, especially critical of business, who don't say anything and who always, and oh, it's a great country. Oh, no, it's not. It's not a great country.
It's not.
For
a
country,
it's
a
beautiful country, but it's not a great country.
Beautiful, not a great country, where you haven't got electricity, where half your day is spent in darkness. You know, we would always mock the Nigerians who were buying their own generators and so on. You know, for a country like South Africa, which was this industrial might 30, 40, 50 years ago, to be in a position like this, no, it's not. And without that kind of without electricity, without power, you know, with you're not going to rebuild it. And I think it's time. You know, for me, I've said it many, many times. It's time for change. You know. You've got to sweep out the people in charge and bring in new people. And they're going to hold on to power and they're going to sing freedom songs, but you're not going to get anywhere unless you have a massive, massive change of attitude. And Eskom is symptomatic. You know, it's symptomatic of 30 years of abuse, of not having the right people in the right places and being politically minded, just paying off the chaps who helped you during the struggle, whatever it is. It worries me to a great extent. And as I said, you know, we're suffering. I have to work now double as hard as I just to come and visit my children.
David, give us the JSE closing indices, please, and also some live Wall Street, if you would.
Yep. I haven't been. We closed, the JSE closed up 0.19% at 66603.
Yeah.
It was much higher at the opening, I think, taking from Wall Street last night. But close, it looks like the resources are down.
Resources, I think, down 0.6%. Yeah, exactly. They're the only
0.6%.
Red one. Yeah.
Financials are up. Banks are up slightly in that. I'm quite surprised that you know, that there were some positive movements. Now industrial's also up about 0.5%. I looked at the volumes. The volumes remain very, very low. There's not a lot of activity taking place. In fact, at the end of the day, it came to another 20 billion a day. But, you know, a lot of that is made up of the buybacks of Naspers, which Naspers still makes up 13%. So, I mean, outside of that, there's not much trade. And most of the trade takes place literally in the last 10 minutes of the market as people balance their positions and, you know, rebalance, I suppose, all the tracker funds and so on. But it's a very, very quiet market. I haven't seen – I'm a little out of things here. I see Tiger Brands was – I don't know if you've picked up anything.
Yeah, let me just give you those, actually. Let me give you the top five and bottom five, which I forgot about because I got so absorbed with your analysis. Tiger Brands, as you mentioned, 2.8% higher. Alphamin up 2.75%. Netcare up 2.6%. Santam, a 2.5% gainer, and Discovery, another insurer, up 2.3%. Downside is Sappi, down 6%, Sirius down 3.1%, TFG has fallen 2.6%, HCI down 2.2%, and Mondi PLC down 2.1%. But yeah, Tiger Brands doing well. It was up much more, but anyway, it closed up 2.8%. And S&P 500 futures, David, I've got now down 1.1%. So yeah, it won't do much between now and tomorrow night.
S&P is down about 1.06% at 3859. Nasdaq down 0.64% 11461, and the Dow down 1.09%. I don't think you should expect anything there. I think until tomorrow, and in fact, I think we could just go sideways or in a very narrow range for a good few months until you have a much better feel for what's happening, you know, with inflation. But I think for the meantime, you know, I keep repeating this. I think the concerns are about what's happening in the rest of the world more so than the US.
I think so too. David, your evening, what does it hold for you? Are you going to go off to your favorite restaurant near the Lincoln Center or something like that? Where are you going? What are you doing?
I've been there. I normally go to Smith's or Fiorelli's and that. I'm actually meeting a friend on the east side. I don't know the east side well, but I'm going there for dinner this evening.
What will it cost
pick
you?
Up the mode.
What will it cost you?
Okay, so I reckon that for three of us at a mediocre restaurant, this is not. In fact, the other night there were three of us. We had just one dish, no drinking. I'm still off alcohol for the meantime.
Oh, because of your medical condition.
It was $120. Yeah. Okay, now let me tell you what happened. The meal was $100, but the tip.
You have to be 20%. Yeah, exactly.
You have to give 20%. Yeah.
Of course you do.
So $120. But that's not unusual. That's normally what we would pay. So there's no, I haven't seen an increase there.
So that's $40 each.
I had, yeah, $40 each, yeah. Yeah.
Which What's is how much?
That's not too bad. That's
no, it's not too bad at all in New York, for goodness sake. Come on. You pay that in Santon.
I will let you know because I'm going to have a New York strip tonight.
What's that?
A New York strip is a steak.
Oh, I thought you were going to go to a club, gentleman's club.
New York strip is I think it's a sirloin, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not quite sure.
Okay.
But I will let you know.
Please send me a copy of the bill, and I will.
Okay, that's a good idea.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll let you know.
And send it to me. Thank you very much, David. David Shapiro from Sasson Securities, sometimes in Johannesburg, but more and more often now in the United States of America. And that was the 5 o'clock shadow. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.